from the 7th to the 10th of October, protesters mobilized against the fall meetings of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The meetings of the International Monetary Fund wrapped up in failure, with the wealthy nations unable to stop poor countries from devaluing currencies to reflect terrible economic conditions. Here's what a speaker from Malawi had to say about how it benefited his country to refuse the demands of the IMF and the World Bank.
There was drought, there was hunger, starvation came in. The World Bank refused. IMF said, we are not specialists, we only give advice. In 2005, there was a change of government. The government that came in, which is still there now, they said, you know what? We are not going to pay for food. We want the production, subsistence. And I remember Malawi was also suspended temporarily. I said, no, you cannot subsidize. I said, whether you want it or not, we will use our meager resources and subsidize. In 2006, that was the first year of the subsidy. Malawi relies on maize, that's a staple food. In that year, we had 1.3 million metric tons surplus.
You heard that? When Malawi told the International Monetary Fund to take a hike with their advice, the result was transforming a famine into a surplus of food. Unfortunately, a lot of times, dealing with the IMF and the World Bank means fighting. It certainly was true in Washington, D.C. over the weekend of October 8th to the 9th. Jubilee USA managed to hang symbolic chains of debt on the White House fence and march around the meetings without too much trouble. And protesters marched through the streets, waking up delegates on Friday night. But the next night, as protesters deployed for a second night of action, the shit hit the fan. Shut down the punk show and look what happened! That's when protesters took to the streets.
Look at that sound system, was simply brilliant. It's like Funk the War at night! A pretty good barricade. Newspaper boxes set in the street right there, I can see them. Slowing down the cops. We're at 15 to now! Solid cars ahead. Not gonna be fun for cop cars to try and get through that now, is it? Solid traffic, baby. Solid traffic. Another set of barricades have been moved into the street. One of the cop cars had to ram the barricade to get by. There it is. DC 9096 has the detectives inside playing the head games. It's these guys here. Show them anything I want. Here we are, the Mayflower, backside. Coming around the Mayflower, circling the place. Cop cars are blocked again, motorcycles on the sidewalk. All right, in, marching around the Mayflower, not just in front of the door. Going around the backside, now we're on the north side. And that's the main side on Connecticut Avenue right there. Crowd disengaged with sedative barricades of newspaper boxes. Cop cars have one hell of a time with it. It looks like, no, they're on the sidewalk. They're going around by the sidewalk. Some serious barricading been set this time. But that's what I call some barricade in the street. Something up here. Yep, just like this. Just like last night. There it goes. Right on through. Line of cops might have made a bar. cops will put a heavy line of cars across L Street at 22nd and New Hampshire Avenue. All these cops have detained the entire unit of protesters by force, releasing protesters one at a time, threatening wholesale arrest if there's any more protest. Now that, again, skirts with violating D.C.'s very strict law against mass arrests and the provisions of the Becker settlement and the Pershing Park settlement, in which the city was exposed to millions of dollars in liability for illegal mass arrests.
Additionally, a legal observer reported that one person was tackled by four cops, hit their head, ended up in a hospital with a bleeding head injury, and was charged with assaulting a police officer, even though they were assaulted by cops. They were out of jail 2 days later. 3 days after what nearly turned into an illegal mass arrest, the following communique was posted on three different websites. Quote, windows smashed after IMF march dispersed. You didn't let us go where we wanted to go, so we went where you really didn't want us to go. After the Saturday night march against the International Monetary Fund and World Bank was dispersed by the DC Metropolitan Police, affinity groups used the situation to attack targets in the Friendship Heights shopping district. Windows along the main strip, including Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, a Microsoft office, and an ATM at a bank, were hit in the middle of the night. Anti-capitalist and anarchist graffiti was seen along the Galleria walls and behind banks. End quote. Let this be a lesson. When we are dispersed by force, do not think that the night is over. One of the websites included a photographic proof of the contents of the communique. For 10 years in a row now, the IMF and World Bank have been shown that they are no more welcome in D.C. than the thankfully departed school chancellor Michelle Rhee and Mayor Fenney, who's on his way out the door.